Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And verse 1, and it says, follow after love. Charity in the King James, but love. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, he says, follow after love. And he wants us to pursue love and to desire spiritual gifts. Now, when he says this, this is up to us. Now, in 1 John chapter 4, in verses 7 and 8, 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8, beloved, let us love one another, for God is love, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Then verse 8, he that loves not knows not God, for God is love. Then jump down to verse 16 of this same chapter. And we know and believe the love that God has to us. God is love. He that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. Okay, now then let's go back again to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1. Follow after love, right? Follow after God. That's what he's saying. Now, we need to, and there are different things that we need to look at here. But if God is love, then we need to desire and to follow him. When you follow him, you're going to find out that you're going to follow a flow of love. You're going to follow a flow of compassion. You realize when Jesus was on the earth, it says he was moved with compassion. He was following the flow of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of love. And he was following the flow of the Spirit of love. So when he says follow after love, we're following after the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This word walk, again, it's talking about the whole round of the activities of your life. We're to follow, or rather, we're to walk in the Spirit. That is, to walk in our spirit. He's not talking about walking in the Holy Ghost. He's talking about you walking in your born-again spirit. Okay? He says, you need, even when you're in the body, to walk in your spirit. Be spirit dominant. Then jump down in this same chapter to the next to last verse in the chapter. I believe it's verse 25. He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Different word, walk. This one means to walk in line with. And again, I think in terms of marching. It's very much a term that you would use in the army where, you know, they would march in line. When you march in line, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about you walk in your spirit, according to verse 16. Walking in your spirit in line with the Holy Ghost. Now, who is he? He's the Spirit of love. If we're going to follow after love, we're going to follow after the Holy Ghost. And when we learn to do this, we're going to walk with him. Now, you're going to follow that flow, and it really is a flow of the Spirit that is love. And there are going to be certain flows that as you walk in line with the Holy Ghost, it's just you just learn to walk with him. You're also going to not walk in a way where you are floundering and you're I guess the easiest way for me to put it is just to give you the scripture in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. This we say then, walk, he says, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. You go on in this same chapter, and he says, if any man says he walks with God and walks in darkness, he lies and does not the truth, because God is light. So when we walk in line with the Holy Ghost, you're going to find out that you're not walking in the darkness. You're going to walk in the midst of things that you may not have seen before. But when you walk in line, following the flow of love, the flow of compassion, you walk with Him. He is also light. So as you're walking along, had you been walking the same pathway, not in line with Him, you would be walking in the dark. But because you are following Him, you're not in the dark. So you're going to see things that you would not have seen before. You're going to see things as you walk along, and some of the things that you're going to see is the most amazing thing. When you are walking in love, you're walking in line with the Spirit of love. You're being led by love. You're walking in compassion. You're being led by compassion. You're going to be walking along, and you're going to see things, and you're going to think, oh man, that looks good. That looks really good. Which you would not have seen if you were not walking in line with Him. And you're walking along, and you're going, oh man, that's good. And God will say, that's right. You're walking this pathway of love with me. Now, pick it up. You see, you're going to experience things. God is going to bless you as you walk this pathway of love with things that you would have walked straight on by had you not been walking in line with Him, because you wouldn't have seen them. You would have been walking this way, but you would have been floundering. You would have been trying to figure out in confusion where you're going. But since I am in line with love, I am following behind the Spirit of love, being led by compassion and love, when I walk along, there's light. And God is going to show you certain things, and it's, oh man, that's really good. And you get the opportunity to partake of some things you wouldn't have otherwise if you were not walking or following after love. Again, 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow after love. Follow after charity. Follow after love. When we do that, this benefits not only those around you, but it benefits you. You're going to partake of some stuff because you would not have seen it. You're also not going to partake of some stuff because you will see it. You'll be walking along, and you're going to see something, and you're going to go, ooh, that don't look so good. And God will say, yeah, that's right. And guess what? If you were walking this road without Him, you might have stepped over into that. If you were walking this road without Him, you might have wondered, and because you're in confusion, grabbed a hold of something that wasn't good for you. But as a result of walking in the light, as He is in the light, we walk with Him, we walk following Him, we walk in line with Him, all of a sudden He shows us stuff. We partake of the good, and we recognize the bad. You realize that light also typifies knowledge. Let's see, Psalm 1, let me go over here. 119 and verse 130, I believe, is where I want to be. The entrance of thy words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So when we walk in line with Him, just as His word shines light on things, when we're walking in line with love, it's going to shine light on things, and we're going to have understanding. We will see some things that maybe we would have picked up before, and we're going to recognize, no, that ain't good. Because we see it within the realm of light. You're going to see some things, and you're going to understand some things. You're not going to pick up certain things, and you are going to pick up other things. And you're not going to be tripped up by the snares and the traps of the enemy, because they're going to be like a net spread in the sight of any bird. So we have light. And when we walk in the light, we're walking in line with the Spirit of love. We're going to partake of some things. And when we do this, it's amazing, because we also will begin, as we walk with Him, as we walk along, sometimes, now come here for a minute, and you just stand in front of me, she's the Holy Ghost. and you turn around and go this way, and just take a couple steps. And so I'm walking right behind the Holy Ghost, and I stop. And he stops, so I stop. Okay? Now, step to one side or the other, I don't care which. Once in a while, the Holy Ghost will do this. And what he does is he, with the light that he is, will show you your future. He will show you things to come. When you go ahead and sit down now. Holy Spirit, thank you. But when he does that, there are going to be times where he steps out of the way and his light will shine and will show you things about your future. That only happens when we walk in line with him. It can only happen when we walk with him. Because those things that we, you know, when we walk along, it tells us that he will show us things to come. But that's how it happens. We walk along with him. He stops. Okay, I stop. And all of a sudden, he steps out of the way. And I go, oh my, that's where I'm headed. He says, yeah. And it will set a seal upon you that what he has for me is wonderful. He'll show you things to come sometimes. The spirit of love and light. Now, so we follow after love. And when we follow after love, we should be desiring the gifts of the Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. But do you realize when you truly do follow after love, it's much easier for him than for the gifts to operate? Because the closer you walk with him, the more of him you begin to partake of. And the more of him you begin to partake of, then he can operate at a greater level. So when we are following after love and we desire the gifts, we're going to find out that the gifts are going to operate more. Now, you need to desire them. That's our part. And, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it uses the exact same word as desire there, but it's translated differently. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and I show unto you a more excellent way. Covet earnestly is the same word as desire. Same tense, voice, and mood. It is the exact same word. So it is a very intense thing. So when he says to desire the gifts, it's an intense thing. We need to intensely desire them. We set the atmosphere for them to work. We desire them. We will hook up with you, Holy Spirit, if you want them to work. But I'm going to follow you no matter where you go. Whether the gifts operate in my life or not doesn't really matter because I'm following after love. I'm pursuing love. I'm following the spirit of love. I'm following the flow of love. And again, what we were doing before the service in the school of the Spirit, learning to flow with the Holy Ghost, we learn that flow. And you're going to find times where there is such a strong flow of love. I mean, it is legitimately love. It will even affect your emotions. That love of God, which is bigger than my mind's ability to understand, according to Ephesians chapter 3, right at the tail end of the chapter, it says that you can know the love of God, which is beyond knowledge. It's bigger than my ability to fully understand, but I can experience it. So I can walk in that love, and sometimes that flow of love will be so strong that when I'm just following that flow of love, it's the Holy Ghost, I get over into that flow with him, I'm going along with him, it will affect your emotions sometimes. But don't be thinking that if it doesn't affect my emotions, I'm not in the Spirit, because the Spirit and the soul are not the same thing. I'm just saying that it can be such a strong flow that it affects your emotions. And it's like getting in, you know, some of the small creeks around here, and, you know, you get in and maybe, you know, there's a little bit more water and you can swim in it, or swimming in the Mississippi River. I mean, it's much wider, it's deeper, but also you get into the flow in the Mississippi where it is really flowing. Oh my, that'll take you quickly. And there are times when the flow of the Spirit is like the Mississippi River. It is a gusher. And when you know, whether you're following that or it's just a gentle flow, we learn to hook up with Him. So we follow after love and we desire spiritual gifts. Now, we can go on into this, but I also want us to see something. You know, we need to have, Lord, which direction, which way are we going here? Okay, all right. We were looking in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4 in the school of spirit. So let's go over there real quick, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4. And then we're going to jump back into the New Testament here in a minute, over into 1 Corinthians chapter 8. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Now, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. We've all heard of Google. And we will be talking, Jennifer and I will be talking about something, and I wonder about this. Well, let's Google it. I mean, that's what we do. And you may not even be using Google, but you're using a search that we call Google. That's how big Google has become. Anyway, we have such an incredible, almost insatiable desire for knowledge in this time. Probably, I don't know that it's a greater desire than they've ever had before, but it can be fulfilled much more than ever before. We have such access to knowledge, it's amazing. And here it says, shut up the books and you know the words until when the time of the end, which is the time in which we're alive, the time of the end. And he says here, again, that many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. Let me put it this way. When it talks about running to and fro, it really talks about going from one thing to another quickly. And man, do I see that. People running from one thing to another quickly. Matter of fact, they're even doing it on their phone, running from one thing to another. And so we have that mentality that people, this scripture is being fulfilled. People are running to and fro. They're running from one thing to another to another. People are running from one church to another to another. This is the mentality in the United States and in modern day earth. This is the way that it is. Why? This is the end time. People running to and fro, and knowledge is increasing. Now, for the body of Christ, knowledge is vital. It says in Isaiah 5, and it says in Hosea 4, I believe it is, it says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. My people are gone into captivity for lack of knowledge. In, Ephesians chapter 4, I believe it's verse 18, somewhere in that area. He says, don't think like the other Gentiles do. And he talks about the vanity of their mind. And he says, do we have that up? Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So he says, ignorance will do what? It will cause you to not, and it says to be alienated. That word alienated means to not be a participant, to be a non-participant of. So he says the very life that God has for you, if you are ignorant of it, you will not participate in it. So we understand knowledge is really important. You cannot exercise faith beyond your actual knowledge of the Word of God. Mercy may be active, but for you to actually receive something by faith, you need to know the Word of God on it. Knowledge is vital, isn't it? It's really vital. But 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Now again, knowledge has increased. In the season in which we are alive, knowledge has increased. Natural knowledge, spiritual knowledge. God is opening, and you say spiritual knowledge? Yes. Again, there are certain things which were shut up for us. that are going to be revealed and are being revealed now. Or rather, 1 Corinthians 8, 1. Now, as things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. New American Standard, I believe it says, puts it this way, knowledge makes arrogant. And that's actually a pretty good translation. But love edifies. It builds up. Now, if we will pursue knowledge, we need to. But we do it the way that it's actually talking about here. Knowledge untempered by love will puff you up. Knowledge tempered by love is a powerful thing. When we are pursuing both knowledge and love, when we are seeing things through the eyes of love, God wants you to have more and more and more knowledge. But we can never get away from love. Now again, God is love. But also, neither can we get away from exercising love. In Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, for the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So God has given us love. He has given us love so that we would know how much He really cares. He has given us love to guarantee us that we can have what He says is ours. He has given us love to empower our faith. And I can give you scriptures on all of these. And He has given us love so that we can love other people. You've heard me say this before, and I'll continue to say it. I get frustrated with people. I don't care if they're a preacher. I don't care how many degrees they have. When they say that person's unlovable, that's an idiotic statement. Because God says He has given you love, and you are to love them. And it is not done out of your emotions. It's done out of your heart. Which means I can love anybody. So when He gave me love, you know, again, Romans 5:5, He says, hope maketh not ashamed. We tend to leave the first half of the verse off because the latter half is what we're focused on. Hope maketh not ashamed, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Put both halves together. When we put both halves together of that verse, He says the very love that He has given to you is overwhelming, it is overflowing, it is so massive, it is in you, it is not only in you, it is not only for you, it is so that you can love others, but also His love is in there to guarantee you what He gives you hope for, you can have. Because He says there, the love of God will never bring you to shame. In other words, it's His guarantee that what He gives you hope for, you can have. Now that's a powerful statement. I love that verse. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, along with about 1,500 others. But I love that verse. And so His love is in me. It is His guarantee. But it is also the way that He then allows me to love others. Now, let's go over to 1 Corinthians 13. And we're going to look at a little word there. Because we need love and we need knowledge, both. So we need to pursue knowledge. But we need to pursue love. We need to follow after love, and we need to follow after knowledge, both. And when we follow after love, and that love tempers my knowledge, because you can have knowledge, it will puff you up. You can have knowledge, and it will cause you to look down on people. Let me give you an example, and then I'll move into what I was just getting ready to show you. But when you look at the lost around you, you can look at them, and you can go, you're a dirty, rotten sinner. You're going to hell. Now, it's the truth, if they're not born again. But when I look at them through the eyes of love, it's like putting on my glasses. When I look at them through the eyes of love, you're a sinner. You're headed to hell. Oh, but Jesus, He died for you. It changes everything. We can look down on people, or we can look at people the way that God does. How does God look at them? Who is God? Love. You look at them the way that love looks at them. So we see them, even those that reject Jesus, my heart cries. Don't go into eternity without Him. Don't go into eternity without Him. Don't go into eternity without Him. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you've hurt. I don't care if you've hurt me. Don't go into eternity without Him. That's love. That's seeing people the right way. That's seeing them like Jesus saw them. Now, in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, have not love, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Now, in those three verses, you will notice the word have. It actually says have not, but it's in all three verses. It's a little word, and it is vital. Who is this book written to? It's written to the church. The church at Corinth. This is the church that in, and he brought a lot of correction to them, but in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, he says, you come behind in no gift, which tells you they were truly born again because the gifts, the true gifts of the Spirit were operating through them. So he calls them brethren. So when he says these things, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. The word have cannot mean possess. It's in them. They have it. There are different ways that you can translate that. And we have always translated it, most people have, as to possess. If you don't possess love, you're not going to do these things. That's not what he's talking about. Because he's writing to the body of Christ. They possess love. It is in them. They are owned by love. It is in them. It abounds in them. This word love is such a big thing that we need to have it. Well, what does the word have mean then? It can mean different things, and one of which is to wear. I see Frank's jacket here. You can have on a jacket. You're wearing it. Now look at it that way, and let's read these verses. And then I'm going to give you a couple other things, and we'll begin wrapping it up. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and wear not love, I don't wear it. If you're going to wear it, that means you share it. I don't wear and I don't share love. I have it. It's in me because God said so. Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in me. It's in me, but I'm not wearing it. I'm not showing it up. I'm not showing it off, and I'm not sharing it out. If we don't wear it, we put love on. If we don't wear love, then we become nothing more than a loud noisemaker. And boy, there's a whole lot of Christians that are loud noisemakers. They may be able to stand up on the chair and spout off Scripture. They may be able to point at people with a terrible-looking finger and say, you are a sinner. But they're not wearing love. And they're definitely not sharing love. If we don't wear, exhibit, show, and give love, we become nothing more than a loud noisemaker. Though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Again, knowledge is important. But if I do not wear love, if I do not show love, and if I do not share love, if I do not live love and give love, then what happens? Again, I may have all of these gifts so that I could remove mountains. I am nothing. My life amounts to nothing. And then he says in verse 3, even if I give my body to be burned, I can give all the sacrifices in the world. But what is the first and greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind, and everything you have. And there is a second like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus even went beyond that. And he said this. It's been said that you're to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I say to you, love your enemies. So no one is excluded from this. We are to wear love. We are to show love. We are to live love, and we are to give and share love If we don't, it profits me nothing. It doesn't mean that you're not going to go to heaven. You can live a very hard life as a Christian. And I know Christians that, I mean, they're grumpy. They have very little joy, it seems. But they're truly born again, but they're not sharing, they're not wearing, they're not living, and they're not giving love. Why is this so important? Because God is love. And when we wear love and we show love, we wear God and we show God. We live in God and we give God to those around us when we love them. So when we understand this, you get into verses 4 and down of 1 Corinthians. He is giving you the practical application of what he talks about in the first three verses here. You need to wear it. You need to share it. You need to give it. You need to live it. You need to show it. This needs to be on display for all the world, friend or foe, enemy or brother. Doesn't matter. That's the Word of God. Now, again, for us to truly do this, we're going to have to follow close on the heels of the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, we learn to flow with Him. We're going to learn how to operate at a much higher level than we ever have before. I actually planned on going into some other things, but we just kind of got led down a different pathway here. And I knew that there was a possibility that I wouldn't get beyond 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1, which is where we spent the whole night talking about follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. The gifts of the Spirit are important. We desire them. We don't make them operate. Go over to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and it says, it is as He wills. But I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost is much more in line with yes than no, even when it comes to the gifts. He wants the gifts in operation more than what we realize. And the thing of it is, there are times when the gifts are in operation and you don't know it. I remember when I was at Rhema, and I was at Rhema Bible Church, and Pastor Hagin was standing on the platform, he was preaching, and he said, there's a whole lot of the gifts in operation in services that you don't know. And the reason is, it's supernatural, but it's not the spectacular. And we're looking for the spectacular. But if we will get in line with the Holy Ghost, and we truly follow Him, and we learn His flow, when He desires that the gifts be in operation, it is a very natural thing for a Christian, because it's supernatural and they are supernatural. So it's a very comfortable thing, honestly, because it's in my spirit to obey Him. And when the gifts begin to operate, all I am doing is walking in my nature with Him. And oftentimes, as I'm going about, you know, everyday business, the gifts may be in operation. I hadn't really mentioned this, but we have some things scheduled. We got a busy December coming up, and we have two churches we're going to be preaching in. Besides, well, actually, there'll be four churches we're preaching in. This one, Clay City, and two others in December. And I was one of the churches is in Bluffs, where we pastored before. And gosh, it's been a year ago or better, maybe even. David Van Giesen, who's the pastor there, and I were talking, and we were talking about me coming and preaching for him sometime. And, you know, I preach plenty. I mean, it's not like I'm looking for places to preach. So, you know, we've talked about it here and there. But I had real unction this week to call him about last week. And to actually get that scheduled in December. And so I called him, and we began talking about it. And we talked about a lot of other things too, and then I got around to this. And he was looking at December as well. And it could have been something that we were, whether you realize it or not, that is a very natural thing for me to be supernatural. That was being led by the Holy Ghost, but that was really the gifts of the Spirit in operation. God was instructing me, I needed to go there and do this. And what was He doing? He was telling me about my future. You need to do this. Well, that's a very natural sounding thing, but it was supernatural. The reason, and I don't do this for you to applaud me. That's not it at all. I want you to understand, you will get to where you're comfortable in the Spirit. And when you're comfortable in the Spirit, God will do things and the gifts will operate, and you don't have to, oh, wait a minute, I need to tell you something. The gifts of Spirit are in operation right now. Let me point this out. You don't do that. You don't realize how many times when I am just talking to people, the gifts of Spirit are in operation. You realize what prophecy is? Prophecy can be foretelling, but the basic, simple definition of prophecy from 1 Corinthians 14 is speaking unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. And I may be talking with someone, and I just begin encouraging them, and it's coming up out of my spirit, and what I am doing is speaking on God's behalf, encouragement, edification. I'm building them up. It's actually the gifts of the Spirit in operation. I am very comfortable in the realm of the Spirit. Therefore, it seems very natural. That's the way that it's supposed to be. You are a supernatural being having a natural experience we call life. But you are, at the core of who you are, the eternal part of you, supernatural. So when you walk along, having a supernatural experience should not be the abnormal. It should be the normal. And the gifts of the Spirit in operation should be the norm. And it shouldn't be, and I don't mean to demean it. I'm just saying that the gifts will become, as you learn to flow with Him, something that for you, for all of us, becomes so comfortable. And I don't mean that in a way where I am demeaning it to the point of being accustomed where it becomes nothing. I just mean that we are so comfortable and we operate so easily in that. And we function there because we know Him. You speak unto men, edification, exhortation, and comfort. I'm not talking about something that you've pre-planned. Often, when I was talking about Pastor Hagen, people are always looking for the spectacular. You realize, maybe you don't, that prophecy happens pretty much every Sunday. Prophecy, speaking unto you, unto edification, exhortation, and comfort, happens all the time. I may be going along, I'm preaching on something, and then we kind of go down a little bit of a different direction for a little bit, and you may come up to me after the service and say, man, that was good. You really encouraged me with that. You really built me up. That was God in the gifts of the Spirit known as prophecy. It is so natural for me, even though it's supernatural, because I know Him. And it should be that way for the body of Christ. We should know Him to the degree that it becomes very easy for Him to operate through us. And you'll get that way. The more we learn to flow with Him, the more the gifts begin to operate in just, again, not calling attention to oneself. It's about God operating. And we learn by following the flow of love.